All right, guys. I want to thank everyone for being on the call. Thank you guys so much for taking your time out of day to jump on the call. We have a great lender that we work with a lot on the call today. I have Dave Ryan from Velocity. Everyone should have the rate matrix that we sent out earlier today, so you guys can follow along. And again, if you have any questions, we'll do a quick Q&A at the end. But Dave, at this time, you kind of know the gist. Just, you know, we usually have the lenders come on and give us a little bit about their companies, their programs. Again, everyone does have your rate matrix, and then we'll just do a quick Q&A with you.
Yeah, okay, perfect.
So all right, your turn. So, you get to take it away now.
Right. So my name's David Ryan. I'm the rep for Velocity for you guys. We've been around since 2004. We started off doing, I'm going to use the old term, even though it's a dirty word, stated income loans on commercial properties. Since probably about for the last 4 years, we've been doing, again, the stated income loans, but we've been doing them for 1 to 4 family properties as well as commercial properties. So our real niche in the market is we play between banks and hard money. So if you have a borrower that can't quite qualify at the bank due to income, don't necessarily send him to a hard money lender. We want to take a shot and see if we can, you know, save him some money from paying the hard money rates and fees. Our real niche or play in the marketplace is we're stated. So we don't ask for any sort of tax returns, bank statements, W-2s. If you have someone who, you know, is a W-2, has a W-2 job, none of that. The only financial document we ever ask for is a bank statement before closing on a purchase. We do want to verify that the down payment money is coming from our borrower, and we don't season the funds either. So that's us. Now, some people, when they hear a stated income lender, they automatically assume they think we're hard money. We're not. We do have a minimum FICO score requirement of 650. We do have some wiggle room with that if we have equity, but in general, we get borrowers with 650 scores and higher, and our average FICO score is actually like 707 right now. So we from a credit perspective, we are getting better borrowers. So we have two core programs. I'm going to split them and talk about each individually, and then just some general underwriting, and we'll open it up to questions. So we do, the first we'll talk about is the 1-to-4 family program. So we'll do a single family residence, a condo, a townhome, any one unit investment property, and your 2-to-4s, your duplexes, triplexes, and quads. The one thing is they all have to be investment. We can't do any owner-occupied property. So that's a key. On these, we do purchases and refis only. We don't do any sort of construction loans or rehabs or fix and flips or anything with major deferred maintenance. The best way I can describe the condition is, condition-wise, is yeah, someone has to be able to live there. It doesn't have to be the prettiest place, but it has to be livable. Now, on the 1-to-4 family program, the minimum loan amount is $75,000. On a one-unit property, our max loan amount is $750,000. And not to confuse you, but on a 2, 3, and 4 unit, we go up to $2 million. So those are kind of the minimum, maximum loan amount. The one thing that's nice with us, because I do know some other people are starting to look at this space, we don't have any debt coverage requirement at all on these properties. So that's pretty important, especially in major cities where values are going up higher than the rent. If you have a 1-to-4 and it has to debt service, your rents could significantly impact your loan amount. With us, we get it appraised. Whatever it appraises for, typically our LTV on these is 70%. You know, we will lend you up to 70%. Some other kind of, I guess, selling point is we don't require any sort of global cash flow on the borrower. No maximum number of properties. We don't limit them. We actually look at a borrower with a lot of properties as a positive because, in our eyes, they know what they're doing. W-2 borrowers are okay with us, even though it's a stated program, of course, as well as the self-employed. I mentioned earlier our FICO score minimum is 650. If you have someone that's like, you know, pretty close to that number, always give Megan or myself a call, however you guys structure that. Especially if you have a lower LTV. We can get pretty aggressive when the LTVs start getting, 50-60%. Just kind of a general absolute cutoff. I can never do anyone in the 500s. As far as terms and rate, most of our rates on this program are going to be in the 7s. You will see a couple in the 8s, but most of them are, you're looking at 7.5, 8.25 in that range on the 1-4s. We have two programs, a 3-year arm and an 8-year arm. And actually, I should say most people take the 3-year. That's where your rates are in the 7s. The 8-year arm, most of those rates are in the 8s. As far as the term, it's all a 30-year AM, no balloon, so it's just a straight 30, which is nice. It keeps the payment low, even though the rate may be a little bit higher than the borrow may want. As far as down payment, we don't season the funds. So you could also say it's also a gift program. As long as the money is in the borrower's account before closing, we don't ask where it came from. So that can be helpful in certain situations. Geographically, we are nationwide. There's only about 5 states we don't lend in. Michigan, Illinois, the Dakotas, Vermont, and Tennessee. And there's a couple places where we might do the 1-4 family program, but we won't do commercials. So, but in general, those are the kind of the 5 that we definitely don't do. Now, I might as well touch on this as well. We do have population requirements on our programs where we want the cities to have a population of 25,000 or more. So we don't want to be in basically rural areas. Now, we do kind of have a second catch-all to that rule where if you have a city with a population less than 25,000, but you're within 25 miles of a city with a population of 100,000, we can still do the deal. So, if you have a small town outside a major metropolitan area, it still may fall into that with that second rule. As far as pricing goes, again, we do offer rebate pricing or yield spread, whatever you call it. If you increase the rate 50 basis points, we'll pay you a point on the back up to 2 points. So you can make up to 2 points rebate pricing or yield spread on our deals. One thing I want to comment about is the buying an SFR with us. We do a single-family residence or a con, any one-unit property. We do require the borrower to own their primary residence and one additional property already before we'll finance that an SFR. So they must own 2 before we'll consider it. The reason why is we want them to be an investor already. And to be frank with everybody, we had too many cases where the borrowers were just moving into them. And, it became clear that it was kind of running rampant. So we had to put that rule in place. Now, if you do have a renter, we can do an SFR purchase, but they have to have 2 rental properties already. That doesn't happen a lot, but we do get them where someone is an investor. They just happen to rent their primary residence. So that's not necessarily a deal killer. Excuse me, I just took a drink of water there. So I'll switch gears a little bit. I'll talk about the commercial side, and then, we'll open it up to questions because our program is pretty straightforward. If it fits our credit, if it's a property type we do, we're going to do it. So on the commercial side, we lend on mixed use, multifamily, retail, office, warehouse. We'll do auto repair, but we won't do any gas stations. So if there's an underground gas tank or storage tank on the property, that will be a deal killer. But if you have an auto body shop, an auto repair shop, we will do those. We also do self-storage. And then there's 2 properties that aren't on the matrix that we consider case by case is mobile home parks and daycares. So with those, you just have to email me the address, and then I discuss it internally with our real estate department, and then, they'll give me a yes or no. Now, on the commercial side, the minimum loan amount is $100,000, and the maximum loan amount is $5 million. Again, and not to be repetitive, it's a stated program. So, again, no, we're not going to ask for any financials, for tax returns, anything like that from the borrower. The population requirements are still the same. As I mentioned before, the city has to have 25,000 or higher. FICO score, again, is the same, 650 FICO score or higher. But I really want to stress, if you have a low LTV deal, you know, give Megan a call and she'll talk to me about it. The other kind of feature we have that is a little different from some of the other lenders out there is on the commercial side, we don't have any debt coverage requirement for loans under $500,000. So they don't need to debt service. So again, that can really be helpful in major metropolitan markets. Like right now, Brooklyn is really hot. It's tough to do a loan for less than $500,000, but when we get them, you know, those loans typically don't debt service because the values are going up faster than the rent. So any major metropolitan area, that's a huge play when the loans don't have the debt service. On the commercial side, we also have a Fast 50 program. Where if you have a deal that it's at 50% LTV or less, we can get pretty aggressive with it. We can go down to a 620 FICO score. They just can't be in bankruptcy. They can have mortgage late. It's a pretty aggressive program. I don't want to get in the weeds too much on that. So if that's something you have, just give me a call. On the commercial side, typically you're looking at rates in the 7s and 8s again. Once again, we have the 3-year arm and the 8-year arm. All of our loans do have a prepay on there. It's typically on the 3-year arm, it's a 3-year prepay, and on the 8-year arm, it's a 5-year prepay. Now, the percentages is 3% on the 1 to 4 family, and it's 5% on the commercial. Again, we do offer rebate pricing as well on the commercial side as well. We also allow a CLTV up to 80% on all of our loans. So if you do have a purchase and funds are a little bit tight and you have a willing seller, they can carry a second behind our loan up to 80%. And we do allow 3% seller concession towards closing costs. Real quickly, I'll just go over the layout of the matrix because if everyone has it in front of you, it's a simple grid, and what determines our rates is property type. So if you look from left to right, you'll see the investor 1 to 4. That's the 1 to 4 family programs. Then your traditional 1, which is your multi-unit and mixed use, and then traditional 2, that's the rest of the commercial properties. So really, you just look at the property type, and then if you look at the far left-hand side, the FICO score, there's 3 breakdowns. You look at the property type, you intersect it with the FICO score, and those are your rates. I guess the only other thing is we do require impounds on all of our loans, which is we do require escrows for taxes and insurance. Any questions? I mean, it's really a simple, straightforward program. If the borrowers have the FICO scores, we do look at mortgage rates, but, you know, if they have the scores and the property types and the location that we do, you know, we're doing it. Typical closing time on the 1 to 4 family is about 25 days on average, and on the commercial side, it's about 35 to 40, depending how fast the borrower's moving. Questions?
Yes, Dave, I just have everyone on mute real quick. I just had a quick question for you, and then I'll let them all ask questions. So as long as the property is in a major metropolitan area, and of course the state you guys lend in, if it's under 500K, you don't do any type of debt service at all, coverage ratio on it?
No, on the commercial side, not at all. And even on the 1 to 4 families, if the loan amount's above 500, that program, we don't run debt service, period.
That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And then I got the states that you don't lend in for the 1 to 4, and I know sometimes, I mean, it's basically always the same. Is that the same states for the commercial property types, or are they different?
Yeah, in general, they're the same. Like, I know they're, for example, the one state, like, I think we'll actually, Minnesota was added. We were doing commercial in Minnesota. They just pulled that out, but we were never doing 1-4s in Minnesota. But in general, it's the same states. There's going to be maybe a difference here or there, where we'll do one or not the other.
And it's Michigan, Illinois, North Dakota, South Dakota, Vermont, and Tennessee.
Yes. And
Okay.
then I would add Minnesota to that because that's one that changed recently.
Okay. Just wonder, even on a 1-4 unit, I know you said most of them are 70% of the appraised value. What if it is a situation where the borrower's owned it for some time? Obviously, we know you have your seasoning requirements. What if they want cash out? Does that LTV drop a little bit to maybe 65% instead of
No,
70?
we don't penalize anyone for cash. We used to, we don't anymore, so there's no hit for cash out. Since you did bring it up, Megan, that's a good point. As far as seasoning, we do require, well, I'll put it to you this way. We have to lend out the purchase price for the first year after purchase.
Yes, that's always whatever the purchase price is just going to be the value of the property, and you can give your LTV based off the purchase price.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. One other thing, we do have a lot of newer reps on the phone, and I don't think most people understand what CLTV means or the 3% seller assist. Can you just explain that real quick, and then I'll see if they have any questions?
Yeah, so CLTV literally stands for combined loan to value. So if I am lending 70% loan to value, we'll allow what they, the way it's kind of phrased is an 80% CLTV, which is really we'll allow the seller to carry a small second behind ours. So if I'm at 70, just to keep the math simple, we'll allow the seller to carry a 10% second behind ours. So if you add the 70 and the 10, that's how you get 80% combined loan to value. Seller assist is just anyone, if you've ever bought a house before, where the seller will give a 3% credit towards closing costs. So it just lowers the amount that the borrower has to bring in.
Okay. And one real quick thing too. What do you guys still have the rule that the investor must live in the same state if they're doing a deal in?
No. Well, yes and no. So we won't do a first-time out-of-state investor. So say I'm in Pennsylvania. I live in Pennsylvania. I own my house, and I want to buy a 5-unit building in Florida. We won't do that deal. Now, if I already own any sort of investment property, say I live here in PA, and I already have just a rental house here in Pennsylvania, we will allow them then to buy that 5-unit in Florida. We just won't do that first additional property out of state. Now, of course, there's reason does come into play. So if I'm in Pennsylvania and I'm buying a property in New Jersey and it's right across the river, we'll do that deal. So.
Okay. Hi, Dave. Thank you so much. Let me just unmute them real quick and see if anyone has any questions for you. Hey, guys. At this time, everyone's unmuted. So I know Dave went through the programs, and it's a great program, Dave. I love your programs. Does anyone have any quick questions? Honestly, nothing is silly for Dave at all. Dave, you must have done a very, very good job. So sometimes people
Wow,
have questions.
I'm disappointed.
I know, it's okay. Yeah, so honestly, those are the only questions that I have for you. I'm so glad you brought up that, sometimes you guys do mobile home parks and daycares because we do get those time to time, and I typically don't even, I don't think to send those to you guys because, it's not the traditional ones you do.
Yeah. The other
That's
thing real
really
quick
good.
is we've gotten a little
Yeah.
more aggressive on is we can sometimes take non-qualifying borrowers off title. So if you have a good borrower and a bad borrower, we can sometimes remove the bad borrower. So that's more an underwriting thing. But if you have a situation like that, we'll still entertain those.
So, do they like the situation me and you just recently ran into? Like, they were married. Would it be okay if they just both are on title and they're not married, but maybe the bad bar can come off or title on closing?
Yeah, I forget what exactly why that got. I think it's because.
It's just because she didn't have enough seasoning. His wife was only
Right.
on there for like a month, and she would need to be on there at least 6 months,
Yeah, and not to confuse everybody, I think they both weren't on. What happened, one came on and one came off, so they almost did a complete transfer of ownership, and she wasn't on for 6 months. So.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I'll just ask real quick. I don't have any more questions for you. Guys, does anyone have any questions real quick about anything that Dave was talking about? One thing I do want to mention, everyone, is, and I say this a lot, stated really just means, like to us and Dave, this is how I always explain to the reps, stated loan, and people still use that term in the business. I kind of call them like bank alternate loans. Really just means, you know, the borrower does not have to submit any W-2s or tax returns to prove their income. So in essence, they're kind of stating it. You know, you obviously purely the lender is underwriting the loan based off of the cash flow the property is making typically, even though you guys don't have some debt service coverage on some of the deals that you do.
Right. Yeah, some of them it's just it appraises for that. If they have good credit, we're doing it. So.
That's crazy. And it also is really, really cool, too, with the bank statements because, you know, for a long time you guys did have a seizing and sourcing of the bank statements. So Velocity is definitely getting very aggressive.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, the only time we even asked for bank statements is on a purchase. Yeah, yeah.
On a refinance, you don't even ask for one for closing costs or anything?
No. On a refinance, typically it's rare that they're bringing money to the table, but if they do have to bring money to the table and it's a lot, yeah, that sometimes they'll want to see where that money's coming from.
Okay. All right. All right, Dave, just wanted to thank you so much for being on the call. I know your program pretty well, but again, thank you so much for taking the time to explain it to the reps we have. And if anyone ever has any scenarios, you know, I'll bring it to you. And that's basically it. Again, just wanted to thank you so much for the call. And
hey Megan,
there's one that we're working on done now. Yep.
Hey, this is Jim. I just got a quick question. Do you guys lend out to foreign investors?
Foreign nationals. Yeah, that is a good question. Yes and no. We have a foreign national program. It's tough. Basically, they have to be living and working here, but just don't have their citizenship yet. The criteria is they have to have a green card or work visa, social security number. They have to have proof of residence in the U.S., and we need to be able to pull an American credit report, and they have to have trade lines and scores. So it's really for people that are completely operating over here but don't have their citizenship.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. If you have, like, borrowers that come in, like, we get a lot from calls from, I have a Canadian investor who wants to buy an apartment building in Florida. Like, we don't do those.
Okay. Great. Perfect. Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Guys, before we let Dave go, does anyone have any quick questions at all?
Hi, I do have a question. Hi, Megan.
Go.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
I just want to know if the entity must be, I'm sorry, if the borrower must be an entity like an LLC or a corporation on a commercial loan?
It depends. So there's two states that are coming to mind, Florida and Virginia. We do require them to close in an LLC. Most of the states, we don't care. It's completely the borrower's preference. We don't require it, so they can if they want to. They don't have to.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of our borrowers are probably going to close an LLC just because it's a commercial transaction, but they don't all the time. You know, and sometimes they do want to close in their personal name. Me and Dave are actually working on closing a deal now. It's a little mixed use in the city of Philadelphia, and that borrower just wants to close in his personal name. So.
Yep.
Yep. Guys, did anyone have any other quick questions for Dave at all? All right, Dave, I think that's it. Again, thank you so much for taking your time to explain your program. And, again, just thank you so much for everything. As soon as we get more deals, my goal is to originate a million Velocity deals and send them your way.
I'd be very happy, man. And thanks for letting me talk to you guys. I appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Dave. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.